track. The only thing that matters is a win. That's it. However, whatever, whatever it takes. Let's go, man. Let's win on three. One, two, three. Win.
Live from the CG Technology Studio.
319.
In the entertainment capital of the world.
Vikings blitz. Manning got it off. The rare deep throw. And maybe that's why they don't do it. Intercepted by Xavier Rhodes.
It's the T.C. Martin Show.
They're not used to this damn heat. They're over there trying to set up damn tents over there on the sideline. Hey, it's a ride.
It's time to get your daily prescription from the doctor, T.C. Martin.
Dave, I ain't going to worry about you no more. 300 yards, 4 touchdowns.
It's so sweet when you walk off that field knowing you gave everything you got. Team win tonight.
The doctor is now in.
How you like me now? How you like me now? How you like me now? How you like me now?
We are coming to you live from the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas on the famous Las Vegas Strip. T.C. Martin Show right here. Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. And, of course, streaming live wherever you may be at tcmartinshow.com. It is a football Friday, and we wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, as this will be our last show before Christmas. Of course, we'll be off on Monday, back at it again next week. So we will be breaking down the bowl games coming up tomorrow and the next few days over the first part of next week. And, of course, NFL and a whole lot more coming your way like we normally do. Our best bet segment happening as well. All right, the crew is here. Our guys from CG Technology, Matthew Holt, Jason Symbol, Brian Benowitz will join us in a little bit, the Vice President of Casino Operations here at the Cosmopolitan. Jazzy Jeff making it all happen here on the road today at the Cosmopolitan from the CG Technology Sportsbook, and Magnum Chris Chapman is back in the studio. So we'll hear from everybody today. Like I said, a football Friday. Glad to have you here at the best sports book in all of Las Vegas, the Cosmopolitan Sportsbook, powered by CG Technology. Matt, Jason, glad to have you guys here on a pre-Christmas show. A lot of football to talk about. And how you guys doing today?
Good. I mean, look, this is actually a really busy time of the year for the sports book. Look how many college basketball games are already going right now. We started off the day with Georgia Temple, a great game, a big-time bowl game at 9 a.m. So we've been going strong since about 7 a.m. this morning, and it's just going to continue on all through the weekend. Great weekend college basketball, UCLA, Kentucky tomorrow. That's a great game. And then you have all the bowl games, NFL tomorrow, NFL Sunday, NFL Monday. It's one of those weekends.
It's going to be great. And I got a feeling that you're not taking any time off. You'll be working nonstop over the weekend.
I'm here.
Yeah. It's too bad. All right, let's don't forget, too, we got UNLV taking on Northern Colorado, home game in the Thomas and Mack Center at 7 o'clock tonight. It'll close out conference play for UNLV. UNLV a chance to go 11-2 in the non-conference. And then tomorrow at T-Mobile Arena, the Golden Knights back in action, closing out their five-game homestand. It has been fantastic thus far, and they will take on the Washington Capitals tomorrow at 5 o'clock, special start time tomorrow. So just an action-packed weekend, and Jason, I know you were there as well as I was at the last Vegas Golden Knights hockey game, which was just tremendous. The Tampa Bay Lightning go down as the Knights win it with 2 seconds to go. That was amazing.
It was one of the better regular season hockey games I've ever seen. You know, I mean, and then the fact that I was there in person was pretty incredible. But what a performance by the Knights and wrapping up the homestand, like you said, on Saturday against Washington.
All right. Our best bets will come to you a little bit later on. Remember, you can go to the website to see all of our best bets. It'll be up there all weekend and all week at tcmartinshow.com. Guys, I want to start and talk about a little of the NFL. We've got two games tomorrow with the Christmas being on Monday. A lot of people might not be exactly sure of the schedule. Two games tomorrow. The first one at 1:30, the Ravens are hosting the Colts. And then at 5:30, a big NFC North game normally, but not so much this year, the Vikings and the Packers. So they'll play tomorrow. Then we got a full slate of games on Sunday. And then on Christmas Day, actually two games, same schedule time that we see tomorrow. We've got Pittsburgh taking on Houston at 1:30 Christmas Day. And then a pretty good Christmas night game with the Raiders and the Eagles. So we'll be talking about that, but that is your schedule. So let's run down the board here, and we'll just comment some of the key games. And let's start with tomorrow, the Vikings and the Packers. This is a game where normally these two teams have heated battles. It's usually been the Packers at the top and the Vikings fighting for a playoff berth. But this has totally changed this year, mostly because of Aaron Rodgers' injury. Aaron Rodgers comes back last week. Then Mike McCarthy says, you know what, forget about it. Didn't work out well for him in Carolina. We're going to put him back on the shelf. So the Packers are hosting the Vikings. The Vikings, a 9-point favorite. I can't remember seeing a game where we actually anticipated Minnesota to win in Green Bay, except for going years back when Brett Favre came back as the quarterback for the Vikings and took care of business at Lambeau Field. So let's talk a little bit about this game, guys. 9 points. It may even be coming down a little bit, 8.5 right now. I think the total is at 41. Packers-Vikings.
This is the time of the year, the week 16, week 17, where actually the odds makers, you know, we always use algorithms here to build odds. Let's set power ratings. What are the power ratings say a line should be? Then you factor in injuries, anticipatory action. But this is the 2 weeks, week 16, week 17, where if you take your power ratings and look at the spreads, you're going to go, what the heck is going on? It's because motivation is built into these 2 weeks more than any 2 weeks in football, and you have to make a decision as a bettor. How much is motivation worth in each one of these games? Power ratings say this line should be about 4.5. It's 9. Is the fact that the Green Bay Packers' playoff hopes got basically derailed last week and they're out worth 4.5 points? Those are the tough decisions bettors have to make, more than, you know, what do the power ratings say? What do the stats say? This week, it's measuring motivation.
All right. So who do you like in this game?
It's a tough one. This game's actually not gotten a ton of action, and I think a part of it is because people are a little unsure, as Matt kind of indicated. I mean, this game didn't have a lineup when all the other games did, and the reason was because if the Falcons were to win, then you knew that Rodgers was going to be shelved for the rest of the year. So the Falcons win, and that's why this line came in at 9, which is still a very big number to be laying on the road, no matter who you are and no matter who the other team's quarterback is. But at the same time, the Packers don't have any reason to show up. It's going to be freezing cold, as we know, and the Vikings need to get that win because there's still a chance that they can get home field throughout, including the Super Bowl. So it's a really tricky spot, and I think for all of these reasons, it's not been a heavily bet game at all.
Right, and let's face it, the Packers are sending Brett Hundley back out there again. There's really not much to like if you're going to bet the Packers. And believe me, the crowd's still going to be there at Lambeau. They're going to have 74,000. We know that. But really, the Packers offensively are just one ugly football team, and with Minnesota so motivated, you know, the line is probably right where it should be, and it wouldn't surprise me if the Vikings win and cover this game.
If I had to play it, I would actually take the points here. I think the one thing that we could say for sure, you know, motivation's always an assumption. You never actually know how motivated players will or will not be. But the one thing we do know is that Brett Hundley actually got better each and every start. He was not very good when he started. He ended up getting a little better. And look, he led him to a couple wins to give Aaron Rodgers that shot to maybe have that late playoff run. So at least you're getting a Brett Hundley with some experience who played a little better down the stretch. The crowd there, to your point, they always sell out. If I had to play it, I would take the 9, but I'm not eager to get in front of this.
Okay. Sunday, let's look at some of the key games. Let's start with the Lions and the Bengals. The Lions, a 4.5-point road choice in this one. Bengals are pretty much done. Marvin Lewis is done. Andy Dalton's been horrible all year, but the Lions still have something to play for here. So conventional wisdom says, hey, let's take a look at the Lions here. You know, 4 could be a short price here. I'm not sure I want to get involved in this game because of what I've seen from the Lions on the road in the past.
Yeah, and in fact, people have gotten involved in this game, but on the dog, this number's actually down to 3. So the Bengals line has moved. There's been a lot of Bengals bet. They bet the Bengals +5, +4. Now it's down to 3. So not a lot of love for the Lions. You figured as soon as this game would have went to 3, you'd get somebody to lay the 3 with the Lions, but that hasn't happened. So it might indicate that this line might actually come down even a little bit more. So interesting there, considering that the Bengals have looked so bad, and they seem to have mailed it in, but people are still betting them anyway. So it's a pretty interesting one to handicap.
And I talked about this line on a show yesterday. Look, if you just do a comparable here to last week, Detroit on the road at the Bears. Bears are a worse team than Cincinnati, same number. How can it be the same number 2 weeks in a row when one team's obviously better than the other team? And I think that's why you're seeing this number come down. If they're only 4-point favorites over the Bears, they have to be less than that over the Bengals. That's why you're seeing money on Cincinnati, I think.
All right. The surprising Rams. We keep saying the surprising Rams, but they are taking care of business, leading the NFC West. They traveled to Tennessee. Tennessee, really a heartbreak loss last week. They took the lead late at San Francisco, only to see Robbie Gould hit a long field goal, and San Francisco gets the win over Tennessee last week. You know, Tennessee needed to win last week to stay alive in that kind of situation. Again, Rams on the road. I don't know about you guys, but it's still hard for me to believe in this team in certain spots. I'm not sure I want to get involved in this game with the Rams basically a touchdown favorite, but clearly they seem to be the better team.
I love the Tennessee Titans in this spot. I think it's a really favorable spot. There's things in the NFL that happen in this short season in a small sample size where final scores aren't really indicative of what happened throughout the game. We saw it 2 weeks ago with the Tennessee Titans traveling to Arizona Cardinals, absolutely dominating the stats. Marcus Mariota throws two interceptions while they're in scoring distance. They don't give up a touchdown, yet they lose the game to Arizona in a game where the stats were overwhelmingly one-sided in favor of the Tennessee Titans. Again, last week, a two-point loss in a game that they had to win against the red-hot 49ers and Jimmy G. This week, I think they get it done. It's really hard. There's an old theory that's been fairly successful in sports betting. It's always bet against a team coming off their biggest game of the year. That's the case here for the LA Rams coming off a 42-7 drubbing of the Seattle Seahawks. Now they go west to east, playing early. Early kickoff for them. Must-win spot for Tennessee. I think you get a big effort, and I think this line's inflated.
I agree with Matt. I think that this is a very good spot for the Titans if you're looking at a spot play. You know, everything Matt said, Rams coming off the drubbing of the Seahawks, their biggest win of the season, their biggest win of the past 5 years, you could argue. And now they're going on the road to play a very physical team that runs the ball pretty well at home. And I think that favors well for the Titans. I do think that the Rams could win this game, but if they do, it's a last second field goal, kind of something like that. This number's come down to six, and I think, you know, we laid out why.
All right. What, 9 morning games, another one to look at. Tampa Bay is traveling to Carolina, a division battle there. Carolina, a 10-point favorite. We see the Buccaneers have been brutal this year. Jameis Winston actually was decent in that Monday night game, almost pulled off a near victory against Atlanta last week. But Panthers taking care of business against the Packers. All of the stuff that's swirling around Carolina with Jerry Richardson, their owner. But it seems like the Panthers are pretty motivated to make the playoffs and maybe even win one for Jerry Richardson, it seems like. The line here, 10, double digits, kind of high for a division game, but really, Tampa Bay has been brutal.
Yeah, I hate laying a big number, but I would consider it in this spot, and I think a lot of it is because, similar to what Matt talked about in the previous game, Bucs coming off their biggest game of the season, and they can't get the W in front of the national audience on Monday night. Then they have to travel to Carolina, by whom they match up horribly with, because Carolina is not going to be able to let them run the ball at all, and then they can pass rush Winston. It's going to be a tough spot, and plus, we know that that the Buccaneers can't pressure the quarterback at all. And when you give Cam time back there, he can run, he can pick you apart. I think this is a very tricky spot for Tampa. I would be very hesitant to take the points here.
I don't like double laying double digits in the NFL either, but if I'm playing it, I'm laying it in this spot. You know, not just the fact that Tampa Bay came off their Super Bowl biggest game of the year last week, Monday Night Football against the reigning NFC champion Atlanta Falcons, but they lost starting tight end O.J. Howard, backup tight end Cameron Brate, 4 players in the secondary. Now a decimated Tampa Bay Buccaneers go on the road, missing several key players at several key positions. Nothing left to play for. Short week of preparation. Carolina, the only thing that worries me about this game is that the having Richardson having to sell the team and all the controversy around him, because Cam was a big fan of his, and we know that Cam's an emotional player, and when you get the bad Cam I am, things can go bad quick in Carolina. So look, I think if I'm playing it, I'm laying it, because it's a horrible spot for Tampa Bay, but it'll be interesting to see what an emotional Cam Newton looks like, because he'd supported Richardson as an owner.
Staying in that division, the Falcons and the Saints could be a playoff preview, so to speak, here. The defending NFC champs, they won last week, but man, they've been shaky at times, and the Saints, they seem to be playing some great football right now. Great battle here, Drew Brees and Matt Ryan. The number here, the Saints, 6. What kind of action are you guys seeing?
Yeah, so far they're actually betting the Falcons on the money line, which is not surprising. You know, you can get them at plus 210, so people think, you know, if the Falcons are going to – Falcons need to win this game, so they're going to play them tough, and they're going to get that W. And they're also taking Falcons, you know, plus the points, again, thinking it's a close game. Not a lot of love for the Saints so far from the betting windows.
Look, and these two teams just played each other a couple of weeks ago. Look, they played each other, then they took a week off. Now they're playing each other again. The first game was close. Drew Brees throws a pick right at the very end, or the Saints very well could have won that game against Atlanta the first time they played. And that was Atlanta in a must-win situation. Both teams equally motivated here. Revenge spot for New Orleans. Short week of preparation for Atlanta coming off the Monday night squeaker against Tampa Bay. I don't want anything to do with this game, but it should be a really good football game. And historically, the last couple of years, these two play each other tight. So how do you lay a bunch of points in such a tight rivalry?
Right. Buffalo's taking on New England. The game in Foxborough. The line is 12. Not sure if we're going to have some weather factors that will play into this, too. Another high total, 47.5. But how do you guys look at the Bills here? I mean, obviously, they have quarterback issues. You still got LeSean McCoy. And then here we go, the New England Patriots coming off that wild finish at Pittsburgh last week. You know they're going to be ready to play. But sometimes when you get these divisional games like this, the two teams that really don't like each other, 12 could be a pretty high number.
Yeah, and we talked about not playing against the team coming off their biggest game of the year, as it was last week for the New England Patriots. But I don't want to play against New England, and there's one simple reason why. Since 2003, there's only seven teams that, if you bet them every single week, you would have made money in the entire NFL since 2003. Number one on that list is the New England Patriots. If you played them every single game against the spread since 2003, you have hit 61% of your bets. And the second place team in that list, the Green Bay Packers, 54.5%. New England has been the overwhelming most moneymaker team in the NFL since 2003. I don't ever want to step in front of that train. For that reason, I would have to pass.
Yeah, I think it's a very tough spot for the Bills. They need to win the game. They're in the playoff race, and then unfortunately they draw the Patriots coming off of a really, really tough game at home in this spot. So it's terrible. The reason, look, the number's 12 for a reason. This is definitely a double-digit favorite. And again, I think, as Matt said, if I'm playing it, I'm laying it. I'd be very careful taking Buffalo here.
There are a lot of lines here that are pretty tough to call, like you said. And the lines are probably set, you know, pretty close. I mean, looking at that 12, it's hard to make a case, you know, maybe for either team, you know, laying it or even taking it. And some of these high lines like this, and you always have to look at motivation, like you guys talked about before, when you get this late in the season, especially for the road teams that have really nothing to play for. So got to beware when you look at these lines here this late in the season. Matthew Holtz and Jason Simple from CG Technology joining me here at the Cosmopolitan here on a Friday afternoon. We're here at 4 o'clock. We invite you to come on by and join us. Those are kind of the 10 a.m. games that we have some interest in. Let's look at a couple of later games. The Seattle Seahawks are taking on the Dallas Cowboys. Ezekiel Elliott comes back for the Cowboys. Cowboys are a five-point choice. The Seahawks, I can't remember the last time they lost two in a row, let alone three in a row. What's going to happen here? We know they're injured. They're banged up. Are you guys seeing two-way action here?
Actually, a little bit of two-way action, but mostly on the Cowboys. People are very turned off by what they saw from Seattle last week. And you know, it's hard not to be. I mean, they got absolutely destroyed by the Rams. Todd Gurley had an unbelievable game. And then you look at the way the Cowboys play, similar to the way the Rams play. You know, a lot of play action, a lot of running the ball right down your throat, and they're going to do that, and Zeke is back. So you're going to have Zeke coming back, running the ball right down their throat. They're going to say to Seattle, if you couldn't stop the Rams, try to stop us. At the same time, every single time Seattle has their back against the wall and you think they're done, they pull out a win, and then they stay alive, hanging around. So it's a tough one so far. Somewhat two-way action, but leaning toward the Cowboys.
And these are two teams that are really trending in opposite directions. Seattle on the downward side, and Dallas, not just because they're getting Elliott back, but Dallas has looked pretty good the last three or four weeks.
And look, this is one of those games that we talked about. What is motivation and momentum worth? This line was a pick in the look-ahead lines last week. Opened up this week, 2.5, all the way up to 5 now. Why? Motivation and momentum. Dallas has looked good. Seattle gets drubbed. Everybody bets what they saw last. The simple fact is you have to make a decision when you go to the window on this game. Is momentum and motivation worth 3 or 3.5 points in this case? Not to me. I'm on the Hawks.
All right. Guys, let's look at some of these other games that we didn't touch upon. Any of the games that are either showing some serious betting action, or you got some thoughts?
Well, if you want to talk about the Christmas games, the biggest action so far from the public has been on the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Houston Texans. And this is kind of the pros versus Joes type of thing, where the pros are on the Texans plus the big number. It's at 9.5 now. But the public all over the Steelers figuring they're going to bounce back big off that game. It's going to be a big sweat for us on Monday night, definitely rooting for Houston.
And when you talk about what non-quarterback players are worth, we've seen Ezekiel Elliott move the line several points this year. The two most important wide receivers in the NFL to the point spread, to their teams, are both in this game. Antonio Brown for the Steelers out. DeAndre Hopkins for Houston Texans in. They thought he had turf toe. It just happened to be a sprained toe. He's 100%. Antonio Brown's out. I think that's a big factor here, especially at double digits. Steelers typically haven't covered spreads on the road the last couple years. 10's a big number. I'd definitely lean Houston.
All right, the nighttime game we'll touch on a little bit later. The Raiders taking on the Eagles, and the Eagles nearly a double-digit favorite in that one as well. All right, when we come back, we are going to talk about the college bowl games coming up here. Brian Benowitz from from the Cosmopolitan will sit here and join us. We'll talk about all of these bowl games and then specifically get into a few key ones, because as we start approaching next week, we start finally getting some decent matchups, some top 25 teams. Of course, next Friday is going to be our huge bowl show as we start previewing all of the major bowls. TC Martin broadcasting live from the Cosmopolitan, our Friday home. No better place to be here at the CG Technology Sportsbook. And, of course, all of the great entertainment, the dining options, the gaming options, the place to be here over your holiday weekend, obviously, is the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. Back with more right here on Fox Sports Radio. Magnum. I knew he was going to torture me today with this kind of music. But that's okay. We're a couple days away. The moratorium has been lifted. Christmas music on the T.C. Martin Show.
Hey, you'll like this.
The Cosmopolitan.
Found out today that David Perron, forward for the Vegas Golden Knights, he's with me. He's been playing Christmas music in his car since the day after Thanksgiving. So if David Perron says it's cool, then it's cool.
All right, that sounds good. Maybe you could start working David Perron's show. What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, if he had one, I'd sign up to do it.
That article David Perron wrote this week was pretty darn cool.
It was.
You like that lead-in, right?
Yeah, very nice. As we segue to Brian Benowitz, joins us now, comes to the dais here at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. How you doing, my friend?
Yeah, doing great. Happy to have you.
Man, Tuesday was great, wasn't it? Tuesday night at T-Mobile.
I don't think I've slept since. Yeah. I mean, the whole town is a buzz. The team played remarkably well. No deficit is too deep for them. They stick with the game plan. They play hard. They played for the goaltender. They played for the city. And, man, did they battle. They had to kill that penalty late in the game, that ridiculous throw that he dropped his stick. I didn't really understand it.
Yeah.
Then they give us the other penalty, battle it out of there, one shot, Theodore, game winner. I'm still
2 seconds to go. You know, it's all because that you started this tradition that we have to go into Click.
Yes.
You know, here at the Cosmopolitan
yes.
on game nights, and we go in there, we eat, we drink, we even watch some of the Winnipeg Jets games.
Oh yeah, gotta watch the Jets games.
Yeah,
early.
There you
That's
go.
Right.
And then we go over there, and then we have a fantastic game, a fantastic night's win each and every time.
That's right.
So
we're doing
it's
well.
It's all courtesy of your tradition that
you
started.
I'll take the credit. Yes. I'm not quite skating with the boys, but I'll take the credit.
And the Vegas Golden Knights rotating jersey that made it on Jason Cimble last week as he caught his first Golden Knights game.
He showed up in a suit. I said, dude, you got to throw in a jersey. You got to be ready to go.
Exactly.
So he was good.
It's a good thing about Double B over here is always carrying the extra Golden Knights jersey.
Yes.
There you go. Maybe we'll get one on Matt one time.
Perfect.
There you go.
He's ready to go.
There you go. All right, guys, let's talk about the college bowl season here. As we sit here and watch the Idaho Potato Massacre Bowl on the blue turf at Boise, I've got a real problem with a lot of these games, guys. I don't want to get your feedback. You know, we know there's a lot of bowl games, and it keeps increasing. It's over 40 bowl games this year. Too many bowl games. The crowds are pathetic. When we look at this game specifically in Boise, Idaho, and I'm not sure, I know we talked about this in the past, Matt, and I know you said it too, you know, last week, is just how motivated are some of these teams going to these bowl games? You didn't think Wyoming would be up for, you know, just going one state over. But there's virtually nobody at this game, no one in the end zones. I think one band is there. I don't know if the other band is there. But they're lucky if they have 15,000 people. And we're seeing this at all these early bowl games. There's blowouts. They're not attended, and even the Las Vegas Bowl, what a great bowl matchup. And Matt, you were there too. There are a lot of empty seats, and there shouldn't have been for Oregon and Boise State.
Look, there's nobody at any of these games. I mean, it's all about TV and sponsorship revenue, and more than TV, sponsorship revenue at this point. When you have big corporate sponsors willing to shell out millions and millions of dollars to have these games, that's why we're seeing all of these games happen.
It's painful.
It is.
This game, don't adjust your TV set. That's a brown Wyoming and a yellowish Central Michigan playing on a blue field with nobody watching.
Yeah. Exactly.
If you paid for tickets, there's something wrong with you.
You know, talk about the sponsor element. How long can this continue to go? You know, we see them paying big money, but when you look at it, the sponsors never stick. I mean, maybe I shouldn't say never. Rarely stick with their sponsorship or their bowl. We have all these different bowl titles, different sponsors year in and year out. So obviously it cannot be working for the sponsors if you are sponsoring one bowl and then you're gone the very next year.
Mm-hmm. And look, let's face it, the whole idea of bowl season has sort of really waned down since they started the college football playoff. Now you have these meaningful games that actually determine a champion rather than everyone play a bowl and then some committee will pick the champion at the end of it. We actually have a playoff now. That playoff is never going to get smaller. It's only going to expand at some point to 8 teams. And at some point we have to figure we're going to get the 4 16-team super conferences and have their champions play at least in a 4-team. So, look, I mean, I think, you know, the sponsorships and the attendance and the viewerships, they all wane a little bit because everyone knows none of these games mean anything. They don't have the tradition they used to. At least 10 years ago, you knew ahead of time, okay, the Pac-12 number two is going against here, the ACC number two, cool, I get to see these conferences. Now they're just randomly thrown together. They don't even care if you have a losing record. There's really no qualification to even get into one. It's just really become kind of a sham.
And these bowls can't actually be making money because they're not drawing people. The payouts are ridiculous that are going to these schools. We're seeing more and more. Do you guys believe that they will actually retract some of these bowls and they'll go back to the way it was 15 to 20 years ago where less is more?
I would hope they would. I'm not interested in watching Akron, Florida Atlantic, Louisiana Tech, SMU, Temple, FIU. That morning game today, I'm like, oh, 9:30, there's a game on. And I watch it for about a minute and I go, this is painful. I can't watch this. Ohio and UAB, Central Michigan, Wyoming. You know, I want to see the big boys face up against each other. And we get some a lot better matchups as we get closer. And you get some of these guys that say, oh, why they? Hey, we're a Big 12 conference versus the Pac-12 and things like that. And so it's better to see. But the question, what comes down to is, who's motivated? Am I motivated? Is this a penalty to go to Boise, Idaho in December and play a bowl game? Maybe. I mean, how does Central Michigan really feel as that's like a reward for their system, for their year?
And let's look at the quality of these games. I mean, Matt made the point earlier that we have not had a competitive game the whatever we've had, the first six or seven bowls or how many we've had so far.
The last four bowl games have had a point differential of 190 to 22.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Wow. Say that again.
190 to 22.
Yeah, that's not
which
even...
is an average of like 46 to 5.
All right. With all that being said, let's talk about some of these games that maybe can pique our interest. Mm-hmm. With our best bets this week, we're going to limit it to just one of the bowl games that will take place starting tomorrow through next Thursday. And then we got a great bowl show on tap next Friday when we really dig down into all the great bowl games. So we'll have a true best bets with our top three next week. But let's start talking about some of these other games here. Now, when you look at the games tomorrow, we've got Texas Tech, South Florida, Army against San Diego State, Appalachian State, Toledo. They've got some good offenses, some good teams here. Army, San Diego State, this is a game that I know a lot of people are probably interested in because San Diego State has themselves a pretty good offense, obviously a top-tier running back. But Army played their Super Bowl just last week or whatever it was, 2 weeks ago, against Navy, which was a fantastic game, and Army got the victory. Now they've got to travel, but they are playing in the Armed Forces Bowl, which is kind of like, you know, the military bowl game, so to speak. And in the past, those military teams have done well. How do you expect this game to unfold?
You know, I don't have a much feel for the game, to be totally honest. Both teams have decent records. Both teams have played subpar competition all year. I think Army got their big win. Where's the motivation for Army to go to Fort Worth, Texas? San Diego State, it's a high-profile game. They're trying to become a program that's consistent. Maybe I would lean that way if you made me make the bet.
I kind of lean that way, too. I know it's the Armed Forces Bowl, so you're tempted to go Army here. But the problem is San Diego State, number 11 in the nation in total defense, allowing 18.5 points per game, number 10 in the nation in opponents' yards allowed this season. And they're one of the best run defenses in all of college football. And what does Army do? 92.5% of the time, run the football. I mean, literally 92.5% of their offensive plays are runs. Army doesn't pass the football. San Diego State doesn't giving up any rushing yards. I would have to lean Aztecs here.
Three bowl games tomorrow. You got one on Sunday, actually Houston, Fresno State. NFL obviously will be king. So this game will take place actually at 5:30 p.m. We'll go against one of the games here. And then Tuesday, we've got a few games. Utah, West Virginia, Northern Illinois, Duke. I want to talk about Kansas State, UCLA. We've talked about these two teams a lot during the course of the year, especially on our Friday edition here. I know how much you love Bill Snyder and Kansas State, Brian, but they're going against your alma mater, your Bruins here with Josh Rosen and company. You know, we talked last week about, you know, these players sitting out, this and that. Should Josh Rosen play in this bowl game?
Of course you should play in this bowl game.
But, you know the reason why I bring it up, because,
I do, because some of these guys don't do it.
And, with Freeman sitting out for Oregon.
Yeah, and it hurt him a lot more than I thought it would.
Exactly.
I liked the Oregon side last week, and I was just flat out wrong there. That was an embarrassing effort by the Ducks.
And there has to be a residual effect. Your star doesn't want to play. Why should we?
Yeah, as it turned out, that was absolutely true, because they did not show in a couple of defensive scores. Otherwise, they got blown out of that game. This game is actually a fairly good matchup. I got to hand it to K-State. They've really dug in. They had a miraculous win in that last game with 0-0 on the clock, which covered me. I got the cover because I got the 2.5 points, thank goodness, against Iowa State. But they've really gutted out some wins. One of the things I noticed when I was looking at my stats earlier, though, is that there are zero times against quality opponents. I'm avoiding their Central Arkansas and Charlotte because I don't look at those early in the year. Zero times did they snap the ball 70 times or more. Zero times, which means what kind of football are they playing? I mean, that's hard to believe. I don't think I've ever seen that through an entire year against quality opponents. UCLA has just turned up the offense. They really have. Since Rosen's got back and Laszlo's out there playing out of his mind, they've gone for 573, 501, 462 yards in their last three games. I think that they're ready for a big effort. They just whooped them a couple years ago in the San Antonio Alamo Bowl, and I think they're clicking. I think that they'll play for the staff. They did like Jim Mora, and they're all outgoing, and they know that. I think they're going to come up with a big effort, and I just don't see that Kansas State has the offense to keep up with them.
Super interesting game here from a statistics standpoint. Kansas State, 4.7 yards per rush, number 39th in the nation. UCLA, the third worst, 125th in the nation rush defense. So Kansas State's offensive strength is UCLA's offensive defensive weakness. Same thing on the other side. UCLA, 8.3 yards per attempt on pass plays, number 9 in the nation. Kansas State giving up 7.8 yards per attempt, number 92 in the nation. UCLA's offensive strength throwing the football, Kansas State's defensive inefficiency. Both teams' offensive strengths are the other team's defensive weaknesses. Don't be surprised if this one's a little more of a shootout than maybe people expect.
Yeah, and remember, Kansas State's going up against teams that don't run the ball in
That's
the
Big
12. So it's a little misleading to say that they're that good against the run, because, you know, you look at it, and West Virginia went for 122, Texas Tech went for 122, Oklahoma, who's mainly a passing team, went for well over, 209 against them, and they gave up 619 yards in that game.
Yeah.
So I can't really give the K-State is that good at stopping the run. Now, I know that UCLA are running the football against it, but I know that UCLA has struggled against that.
They have.
But they're a little healthier, and I really think you're going to see a big effort out.
And K-State, normally known for their strong defense. So, again, we got to wait till Tuesday before we actually see a quality matchup with two pretty good programs, and that'll take place Tuesday. All right, when we come back, we will get into our best bets. We'll give you one college bowl game and then our three best NFL. That is coming your way next, live from the Cosmopolitan, the T.C. Martin Show, right here on Fox.
Now I'm the guy named Curtis Blow, and Christmas is one thing I
That's know. What so I'm talking about right there. A little Christmas rap in 1978. The one and only, the original rapper, Curtis Blow. Jason Symbol, I know you're too young for this, but you gotta be able to represent New York.
It's a great Christmas song. What are you gonna do?
Time for our best bets right now. Ho!
It's Football Friday and time for the weekend's action. Live from the CG Sportsbook.
Magnum, I love you.
The best bets.
I just have a new love for my man Magnum. Beautiful. All right, best bets. Here we go. We're gonna go quickly. One college. For the bowl games taking place between now and Thursday. Brian Benowitz, we'll start with YOU.
I'm going to go to the game on Wednesday, 3 p.m. start, the New Era Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium, Boston College +3 against Iowa. What a job Steve Addazio has done here for Boston College. He took over a program, and they've gone to 4 bowl games in 5 years. This year has to be his best year. They were 2-4 in early October, including blowout losses to Wake, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Virginia Tech, and they turned the season around on October 14th when they shocked Louisville as a 21-point dog. They won 5 out of the last 6, only dropping a 3-point heartbreaker to NC State. What I find interesting is the books have just not adjusted to their mid to late season form, and they've set extremely poor lines. They have won 9, covered 9 consecutive games. Same goes here. They're a dog against a very suspect Iowa team who, outside of 2 games, have looked really hideous on offense. Iowa, do they get up for a cold weather game in New York City? I don't know. I don't think so. Hard to say. They have not had recent bowl success. They've dropped their last 5. I'm not sure if that's motivation or not. Look to BC to dominate the game on the ground, control the clock, wear down the Hawkeyes, and win going away.
I like a BC for double B. Jay Sim.
So it was a toss-up between Oklahoma State and the game I ended up going with, which is Stanford in the Alamo Bowl. They're a three-point dog. I realize that TCU is obviously going to be, quote-unquote, the home team playing in San Antonio, but to me, this is just two games that have been two teams going in different directions. TCU's really struggled to end the year, getting destroyed by Oklahoma, embarrassed in that game. And we've seen Stanford actually has been quite good. They hung tough and probably should have won the Pac-12 championship game. So I like Stanford plus the three.
All right, Matt and I are on the exact same bowl game, on the exact same team. So, Matt, I'll let you kick it off, and then I'll just add anything that that you don't hit
on. I'll try to keep it brief here. USF number 9 in the nation, scoring 39 points a game this season, and they have some components here that I really like. A senior quarterback who's probably headed to the NFL making that audition in Quinton Flowers, 21 touchdown passes to just 6 interceptions. And, oh, by the way, he also led the team in rushing, 972 yards and 10 touchdowns on the ground as well for Quinton Flowers. And they have a first-year high-profile head coach in Charlie Strong. Normally, first-year high-profile head coaches like to get that big win in a bowl game, keep that momentum going for a new program. Texas Tech, one of the worst defenses in the country here, I think an ultra-motivated USF team with a senior quarterback and a first-year high-profile head coach really run up the score here against the Texas Tech team who doesn't get many stops on the defensive side of the ball.
9 a.m. tomorrow morning, the Birmingham Bowl. And for me, it's one team is used to winning and one team is used to losing. And that's what happens here. 9-2 for South Florida and Texas Tech, 6-6, barely got into the bowl game. And, you know, for me, you know, Quinton Flowers is fantastic. Like you said, Charlie Strong, he wants to win that game. I agree with you. But when you look at everything about Texas Tech, they got blown out by TCU, Oklahoma, Iowa State, K-State, West Virginia, Oklahoma State. They're coming to this game expecting to lose. USF is a very physical team. I think their D will dominate, and they are motivated to play. So I like South Florida with you, Matt. Magnum.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with the game you guys talked about earlier, and that's San Diego State laying the 6 against Army. Army, one-dimensional team. Rocky Long against one-dimensional teams. All we need to do is look at what he's done against Air Force. He's won 5 straight in that series. San Diego State, they've had a couple of weeks off. You know, they're still seething over the fact that they did not play in the Mountain West Conference Championship. And I think Penny's going to be a little angry that he was not invited to New York despite finishing 5th in the Heisman Trophy voting. San Diego State, you know, they did finish the season pretty strong, and you know, they won 4 straight ending the season, and I think they're going to roll all over, as you guys mentioned, an unmotivated Army tomorrow.
Hard to think about Army not being motivated where they are, but that's a tough game. Brian, let's start with you. Our 3 best NFL.
Well, you know, I went back to Ken Hoff. He's been fairly hot in the pros, and he said he'd be studying all weekend for me.
Okay.
So he came up with the Jets, which I just don't know why he picked the Jets, but we're on the Jets. We're getting points at home, so that's a good thing. The Saints, I think that the Falcons are just barely beating teams or scraping by, and the Saints still have Drew Brees, and they're very explosive, so we're going to lay the points there. And then, you know, we're going to go with Ezekiel. I mean, lay the points with the Cowboys. He's back. Seahawks, I think they're done. I mean, I know the motivation may or may not be there, but to me, it looks like they're done, and they're not going to win another game this year.
Jason Simple, 3.
I'm actually opposite one of those games. I'm on the Chargers laying the 7 against the Jets. I just think that, you know, with Bryce Petty here, the Jets tried their hardest to beat the Saints, couldn't get there. Chargers need this game. There's actually a pretty decent chance that they could sneak into the playoffs because they play the Jets this week, and some of the teams that they're chasing have tough games, like the Bills, for example. So I like the Jets, the Chargers there. Broncos plus 3.5 against the Redskins. I think the Redskins are just done. I don't know if Gruden's going to last the offseason. I think that the Broncos are actually starting to play much better defensively. You know, Osweiler's realized what he can do. They know who he is. I like the Broncos there because I'm getting the hook. My last game is the Dolphins plus 10.5 against the Chiefs. Jekyll and Hyde with the Dolphins. Some weeks they look like they're a guaranteed playoff team. Some weeks they look horrible. I think they're going to hang tough with the Chiefs. Don't know if they're going to win the game, but I'm getting 10.5.
All right, Matthew Holt.
I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans. We talked about earlier betting against the team coming off their biggest win of the year, a 42-7 drubbing of Seattle. Now they go on the road west to east, early start. Tennessee in the must-win situation. They actually won the stats the last 2 weeks but lost the game. If they win the stats again this week, very good chance they'll cover that 7-point spread. I'm taking the Cincinnati Bengals plus 4 because it's the same exact spread as Detroit was on the road against the Chicago Bears the week before. Cincinnati, obviously a better team than Chicago, and Cincinnati actually gets a few players back this week. Joe Mixon, Vontaze Burfict, a little bit healthier Bengals at home. And I'm going to take the 5 points with the Seattle Seahawks. Look, the power ratings say it should be 2. It opened 2.5, went to 5. I get the motivational issues are on Dallas' side, but it's actually Seattle who still has a statistically better chance of making the playoffs. I don't believe in all that motivation as far as why this line is moved. I'm going to take the 5 with the Hawks.
All right. I will going to start off with tomorrow. Baltimore, lane 13 against Indy. Baltimore really needs this game. It's a mismatch both emotionally and physically. Jacoby Brissett has been sacked 49 times this year. Terrell Suggs is going to be licking his chops on this one. Indy, 30th in offense, 31st in defense, 3-9. Similar situation last week for the Ravens when they went to Cleveland and they blew out Cleveland. I expect the same thing for the Ravens to take care of business on their home field against Indy. San Francisco +4 against Jacksonville. The last place team that has the longest winning streak in the NFL, that's the San Francisco 49ers, believe it or not. They've won 3 in a row, 4 of the last 5. Since Jimmy Garoppolo has taken over as starter in week 13, San Francisco has only one drive in the last 4 weeks that didn't get a first down. That's only 1 3-and-out, guys, in the last 4 weeks with Garoppolo calling the signals. They put together 18 scoring drives during this span. I like the Niners. I'm not sold on Jacksonville. Last time Jacksonville went west, they got beat by Arizona, and Arizona had no quarterback, no running game, nothing to that. So I'm going to take a shot. San Francisco at home, they played very well against Tennessee last week. I think they're motivated. They want to end the season strong. And the Christmas night game, it's Philadelphia -9 against Oakland. First time in 4 weeks Philadelphia is coming home. The last three have been on the road, and at home they are dominant. They are undefeated. They're 6-0, and the last 5 games have been pure blowouts and easy covers. Nick Foles more comfortable. Now he's playing at home. Christmas night in Philly. Raiders traveling cross country. That team's a mess. Merry Christmas. Go Philly. Magnum.
All right, I'm going to go opposite a couple guys here. I'm going to take the Lions laying the 3. This is a must-win game for Detroit. If they're going to make the playoffs, they obviously need to beat Cincinnati. The Bengals have mailed it in. Marvin Lewis is done. I don't see any motivation for the Bengals in this one. Detroit must win. I think they're going to cover. I'm also going to go with Carolina laying 10. Look, Tampa Bay, they're done as well. Panthers playing for the division there in the NFC South. This is a big game for them, and obviously, like you mentioned, the motivation with the whole Richardson thing. And then I also was looking at the Redskins. I like Washington because Denver, look, they're terrible on the road. They've won one game, and that was against the Colts last week. I understand they've gotten things going. They beat the Jets and the Colts the last 2 weeks. Redskins playing for Gruden's job. I think this is a big win for Washington.
All right. All right, those are our best bets. You can see them all on the website at tcmartinshow.com. A real quick shout-out, I got to bring our friend from Winnipeg is here, Jerry Baluta. He is a season ticket holder for the Winnipeg Jets and the Golden Knights. How do you do that, my friend? You have more frequent flyer miles than anybody I know.
Exactly. It's a very good thing. Great time at home. Great time coming down here to my second home. The Knights games have been fantastic. That game on Tuesday was just off the charts. It was just incredible. What a finish. And it's been great fun.
So I know you're a diehard Winnipeg Jets fan, but the Knights are in your heart now, aren't
Absolutely.
They?
Absolutely. It's my second team for sure. Rocking the Knights jersey, rocking the Knights gear. It's been spectacular watching how much the town's embraced it. It's been really, really a lot of fun. And they're a heck of a team.
Yeah.
I mean, what, 46 points there. Washington's playing tonight, so it looks good for the Knights again tomorrow. Take a win into Christmas.
That's
got to
be
better.
We've talked about this before, Brian. When you come from a different location and then now you're getting in love with the Knights here, it's hard to balance two teams, two favorite teams.
You know, it is a challenge. I feel very conflicted whenever, the Jets are playing the Knights. But I will tell you this. I'm really looking forward to tomorrow's 5 o'clock face-off against Ovechkin and the Capitals and see what they can bring. They're playing very good hockey now. But the Knights, they're ferocious. Our goalies are back, and watch out.
All right. Merry Christmas to all of our listeners. Jason, Matt, Brian, Jerry, thanks for being here,
everybody.
My friend. And I know we'll see you a lot more during the course of the season. Brian, gracious host as always. And don't forget tomorrow night, Knights at T-Mobile Arena hosting Washington. And you can hear the game here on Fox Sports Radio if you're not going to the game. But Merry Christmas to all you guys.
Merry Christmas to you too, Jason.
We appreciate it. All right, Jazzy Jeff here, and then of course Magnum back in the studio. Next week, we're off Monday, obviously. Merry Christmas to you. On Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I'll be doing double time. You can hear me on ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Be rocking that, and then of course doing our show at 3 o'clock here on Fox Sports Radio. For everyone else, enjoy your time here at the Cosmopolitan. Enjoy the holiday time, and we will reconvene next week. Have a blessed Christmas. Take care. Drive carefully. Happy holidays from all of us at the T.C. Martin Show.